Welcome to the Courageous Recovery Broadcast. I'm your host, Randy Mortensen. This is a weekly 20 to 25 minute program where we provide answers for your I don't know how. Whether you're dealing with recovery issues, emotions from a loss, or maybe life has just thrown you one more curveball than you were expecting, I'm so glad you're here. Today, it's just a huge blessing for me to share with you a powerful testimony of God's redeeming love that was shared by my friend Dusty Grounds. Dusty has a powerful, powerful story of redemption and forgiveness, and she is just an amazing lady who has turned her life around. She's turned her life around 180 degrees. There's no question about that. It's always great to see that we have people joining this broadcast from coast to coast. Thank you so much for taking your time from your busy schedules to connect. You should see a chat box wherever you're watching this. There's probably also a subscription or subscribe now. Please do that and leave any comments or any feedback that you have. We so appreciate that. It's great to know that I believe we have viewers in 23 countries now around this globe. For more information about my services, you can go to randymortensen.com. That's Randy, last name Mortensen, Mortensen.com. Later in the show, I will talk more about the 21-point assessment. That's a tool. You'll find it on the front page of my website. That's a tool to determine whether you or a loved one qualifies for one of my programs called the Lifestyle Champion Cohort. And if you mention the Courageous Recovery Podcast, you will then get a 50% discount. As I said, it's an 8-week program. And we use Zoom technology to do the 90-minute weekly meetings. The first 30 minutes is teaching. And then the three phases that we cover over the 8-week period is phase one, which is evaluate. Two is the largest amount of time that we spend on that section. That's to equip you. And third is, now that you're clean and sober, now that you've overcome that compulsive and destructive behavior, how do you enjoy? So it's evaluate where you are today, equip. I'm a guide for talented management professionals whose drive has led them down a path of destructive and compulsive behaviors. And then the third is to enjoy. For more information or to be on our list for any of the database updates, you can text CHAMPION to 66866. That's CHAMPION to 66866. So without further delay, we'll have you be blessed to hear Dusty's testimony at Quest 180 here in Vieira, Florida.
Indiana. My mom retired from General Motors. My dad was stationed at Homestead Air Force Base, Florida. I grew up in the Florida Keys. I had one older sister and we had a dog. My family went to church on Sunday, and we always had a Sunday dinner. But the rest of the week, there was a lot of yelling and cussing going on. Nobody could seem to please nobody, and somebody was always mad at somebody. It was dysfunctional. I wasn't molested or beaten, but I sure got cussed at and yelled at. My mom and dad's favorite saying was, "You dummy, you better get them grades bought up. I buy you books, I send you to school, and you don't learn a damn thing." Always in the principal's office for fighting. Well, kids can be cruel. They would make fun of my mother's weight or my sister's looks. At 13, I started smoking pot and drinking with the neighborhood kids. It made me feel good. By the time I was 16, I didn't want church, school, or my family's advice. My only goal in life was to attend every rock concert that came to South Florida. I just went wild. I could have written a year-by-year detail, but I decided not to because I'm writing a book, my life story in detail. Let me put it this way. I wasted my teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and early 50s on a life of drugs. I've done every drug known to man. Some I didn't like, and others I got so hooked on that once I took that first one, I had no control of what I would do next to get more. From the Keys to Chicago with a needle in my arm or pipe in my mouth, stripping, prostituting, lying, cheating, and then some became a way of life for me. I've broken and destroyed many relationships, jobs, and family's trust. And still to this day, there's some people that don't have anything to do with me. I broke my mom and dad's heart in ways I'm ashamed to say. 86 arrests, 5 rehabs, X amount of overdoses and suicide attempts, failed marriages, and the loss of a baby. I would still continue to use. I sunk so low, I thought I was worthless. I wasn't worth flowers or candy. If a man wasn't abusing me, he didn't love me. I was trash, and I loved all the garbage that went along with that lifestyle. That's what I believed, that I was born to be and what I would die doing. I didn't want no part of. He couldn't possibly love me. I couldn't be around a Bible. If one was in the motel room, I would take it out and put it in the trash. I was scared of that book. Or if somebody would bring up God, religion, or heaven, I would flip out. I would get away from them quick. Well, the years started to take a toll on me, and I was trapped in a prison of addiction. I couldn't break free from on my own. The times I tried wouldn't last. I'd get sober. One time I had 4 years sober with AA, but I wouldn't commit to the God thing. I still wanted to do some things my way. And my sponsor told me time and time again that those things that I didn't want to surrender will be the ones to take me back out again. And boy, was she right. My husband, in March 2014, I went back out. My husband commits suicide. My sister dies from an accident. My dad died of cancer. My mother gets dementia, and me and my two nephews are constantly fighting. I became the most miserable person I knew. I wanted to die. I could no longer look at myself in the mirror. I was less than 105 pounds. I was dirty and I was disgusting. I stole money from my mother's account. I wasn't taking care of her. I was too strung out on drugs to even care. And she was taken from me, put into a nursing home. And I was arrested for extorting money from a disabled person. The night of my arrest, I was really rescued because I was on my way to commit murder. I was going to kill my boyfriend, my nephews, my best friend, and then myself. Murder-suicide is what I had in mind. But glory be to God, that wasn't his plan for me. I was sentenced to 4 years Department of Corrections, plus a $5,000 fine. And the voice inside of me said, who gets that kind of fine? I said, who gets that kind of fine? The voice inside of me said, shut up. You spent more than that getting high. It's called humble yourself and do the right thing in life for a change. Can't you see God keeps giving you chance after chance after chance? It will be a way for you to get a real job, stay clean, and make amends to your mother once you get out. I believe God had to take away everybody I used or everybody that would make an excuse for my behavior and keep bailing me out. Their so-called friends, they're nowhere to be found. When you're doing time, no visits, no money orders. But when I got out, the first 5 people I ran into offered me drugs, money for sex, and drink. They will do anything to see you start up again. That's why it's said to stay away from old people, places, and things when you can. But I couldn't. Nobody, I had nobody and nowhere to live when I got out. All I knew is that I wasn't going back to that lifestyle. I was pulled over by the police my first 24 hours. I lived on Peachtree and Fisk, a Salvation Army. Drug dealers running me down, people shooting guns and needles near me. I moved 7 times, 3 jobs, had COVID for 3 weeks. My mother died, plus 7 girls I knew from my past, all dead in 9 months. overdoses, suicide, and murder. I trusted God to get me through some real rough times, and He still does. I surrendered all of me to God March 21st, 2016, and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am thankful to the Department of Corrections and the many people who are in the prison ministry. I met amazing godly leaders who taught and shared their own personal battles. And today I stay connected to recovery, godly groups, and people. I've had an entire psychic change. I talk to my sponsor, I go to meetings, I do the steps and help others. My biggest tool I use is this Life Recovery Bible. This Bible is a record of sin and deceit and immortality of every kind. It's also a record of God's amazing grace and love. The heroes I admire were people just like me. They failed miserably at times, and yet they found love, acceptance, and forgiveness as mercy, as free gifts from God. His love drew me into an intimate relationship with Him, empowered me to do great things, and taught me to enjoy my life. The Bible helps us as it teaches us what is true, makes us realize what is wrong in our lives, and points us in the right directions, and helps us to do what is right. If you got one, read it. If you can get one, get it. If you can't get one, see me, and I will give you one. Thank you. And, you know, I'm just too ashamed to say. It wasn't until I lost them that I had to do this on my own, because they kept bailing me out and making excuses. And, you know, they would always say, well, she's my daughter, I love her unconditionally, you know. A mother, a dad stays beside their children. But, like I said, it wasn't until I lost them and they stopped coming to get me and stopped rescuing me and stopped sending a package. And those things that I began to start getting on the right track, however I would fall off. Once I found the love of Jesus, and He's never left me, and He's seen me through all of this, when I look back over my life, and I see how He has carried me, and like I said, the girls that I know that are dead, I'm like, God, why did You save me? Why me? He said, because I love You.
Oh, how powerful was that testimony? Just an amazing story of how she turned her life around. At the end, Dusty responded to a question from the audience that was something along the lines of a parent saying, what can I do to help my children? Or what can I do to help my son or daughter? And she responded with words of encouragement and words of gratitude as far as how her mother and her father had done everything that they could to help her. But she would say to that, in response to that particular question, she would also say that sometimes moms and dads do need to show some tough love. And she wasn't being critical by any means. She dearly loved both of her parents and was very saddened, as she shared in her quick testimony, when her mother died not that long ago. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a time right now where overdose deaths have tripled since 1990. Right now in the United States, we've been seeing more than 130 overdose deaths per day. It's costing our American economy more than $800 billion annually. If you know someone who's struggling today, or maybe you're that person who's battling a compulsive and destructive behavior, please don't wait another day to seek help. Or please don't wait another day to help your loved one seek help. You can reach out to me at my office number, which is 321-757-HOPE. That's 321-757-HOPE. Or call someone you know and trust. Because those who are dying are husbands, wives, sons, daughters of someone who loves them. Today's the day. If you are interested in a free download of my ebook that's titled The 5 Common Mistakes When Pursuing Recovery, just text CHAMPION to 66866. That's CHAMPION to 66866. I hope you've found this information helpful today. Look for the replay of this to be available on usual podcast online outlets like Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many others. Thanks again for joining us and taking time to listen. Have a blessed day and be extraordinary.